and welcome to The Porch. Here on Firefall Talk Radio, I'm Richard Grund. Broadcasting live from the Firefall studio, the only place you can hear us live is on Spreaker.com. You can download and listen to the archive here, as well as on the old Blog Talk Radio site, as well as iTunes and iHeartRadio. Porch Online Bible Study was created to take a deeper look at how the early church served the Lord. And in that, we find and restore the priesthood of the believer and that world-shaking influence the early church had. We do that by delving deeper into Scripture. We don't filter it. We don't water it down. And in the process, we find the church the Lord intended and not the one that man created, because we believe the church age is still in effect. It's not over. The day of Pentecost continues. The fire still falls. The Porch is an outreach. Follow us on solomonsporch.org. If you have any questions, visit the site. Use the contact button if you'd like to support what we do here, and we appreciate everyone that does. Go to firefalltalkradio.com. Make sure you bookmark the Spreaker site. Firefall Talk Radio is doing all of its shows on the main site, spreaker.com/user/Firefall Talk Radio, one word, no more separate shows. So make sure you pick your favorites. If you like one, give it a star and let us know. Write us. The encouragement helps. The edification is appreciated. You know, we need to continue to pray for the victims of Hurricane and what became Tropical Storm Florence. People have died. Their homes have been destroyed. Properties destroyed. Businesses washed away. They've been displaced. Severe flooding up and down the East Coast everywhere it hit. Animals have been lost. Losing their homes. They're losing their families. Just a really tough time. And all over the world, flash floods and storms and all the things that are creating an atmosphere of desperation and despair. We must continue to pray and praise the Lord. So I praise Him for my home, for my lovely, wonderful wife, for our family, especially our little grandson, JJ, our furry kids, and all the possessions He's given us, including this room where I'm doing this, the studio is, and all the technology. I praise Him for His protection. The ministry lets me work. For the dreams and the visions, which I can tell you folks are very active right now. Praise Him for His healing virtues. I'm counting on them. I'll share why. I praise Him to be able to praise Him, to be able to raise my hands to the sky without fear of somebody kicking in my door, throwing me in prison, or burning down my home like some of our brothers and sisters around the world. I praise Him for being a new creation. Every day I thank Him for loving me and redeeming me and allowing me to be a part of His efforts during these prophetic times, which means I have to praise Him for America. Yeah, there are problems, there are things that are wrong, but the fact that we are able to do this and be here at this time, I'm praising Him for the signs and what He's telling us to get ready. He's coming back. I praise Him for that. My prayer goes out to the Middle East, for Jerusalem, the peace of Israel, which means I'm praying for the Prince of Peace to return, for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice. And boy, there are a lot of them. For our brothers and sisters around the world who risk their lives to praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm praying for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me. I'm asking for prayer. Not going to go into too much detail, but could really use some divine mercy right now and healing in my right knee. And I'm believing Him for it, and I'm trusting Him for it. The just shall live by faith, and that's what I believe. I believed it for a long time. This is going to be the test of my faith, and I believe He's as good as His word. I pray for my wife and healing in her and all of you that are struggling right now mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Let's begin to pray and get back to our divine design. Let's get healed. Let's get restored. Let's get ready. There's a job to do, which means I'm praying for protection, inspiration for the remnant to rise up, wake up, Get involved. Answer the call to action. If you can be a blessing, be one. Stop putting your seed or your money into bad ground. Stop being mesmerized by the televangelist and start putting your blessings into those that are furthering the kingdom of God. Which means I'm praying that we will prosper in accordance of his word for the purpose of the kingdom and the preparation of the return of the king. So, Father, I just pray for the open conduits of those blessings. Stacy in Texas has asked for an unspoken prayer request for her marriage, for her mother, and for her family. Kim in Fort Mitchell says she's doing good. She's praising him for that, praising him for her salvation, sobriety, her children. So children are one of the greatest gifts he gave us. Yes, they are. And grandchildren, something even more special. His unconditional love and patience with me is a blessing. I want to praise him for this ministry and everyone in it. For my friend Stacy and her family, sometimes my human mind forgets that God never runs out of resources. The things we pray for, he never runs out. So I want to pray for protection from the enemy over our families, pets, and possessions. Patience and compassion for one another, for a clear, sharp, focused mind as she begins her college classes in October, deliverance for her children and herself, salvation for her mother and her husband, and every family member here that needs Messiah. Praying for her friend Stacy, for the people and the animals affected by the latest storm. She says, I keep reading stories about tied up or locked up dogs abandoned by their owners. It is horrific to see, but I guess it's just a sign of the times. So I'm praying for SRT, blessings and favor for us in Yeshua's name. Well, Father, you know all these things. You knew them before I even read them. But we speak them out. We do what your word says. You said if two or more touch and agree, it shall be done. If it's in accordance with your word and your will, and I believe everything we have prayed here is. So we stand fast in the faith, and we believe that you are as good as your word. We thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for Yeshua. We thank you for sending him to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We thank you for your promises fulfilled. We thank you for the return of the King. Lord, we say, Maranatha, come, Adonai Yeshua. We long to see you, hear your voice, touch your face. Smell the incense of the throne room upon you. We long for that freedom. We long for the restoration of all things. But until then, we ask for your fire, the fire of your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, to bathe us, to fill us, to empower us. For all that are struggling right now, Father, I pray that you'd meet them where they are and rescue them. All these healings that we need, some of them incredibly miraculous, I know that you can do them. You've done them before. You'll do them again. You can speak the word right now from the throne room in heaven, and it shall be done. Bless this time. Bless the technology. We clear our minds. We open our hearts. We get ready to hear what you have to say. And we receive the fire of the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we can fulfill the Great Commission. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we're talking about the spirit of truth, and in a time of false teachings and a lack of discerning of spirits by the church, I felt it necessary to discuss the spirit of truth. Here's what Oswald Chambers says about truth. There is some truth that God will not make simple. The only thing God makes plain in the Bible is the way of salvation and sanctification. Spiritual truth is discernible only to a pure heart, not to a keen intellect. It's not a question of profundity of an intellect, but of purity of heart. Truth is not discerned intellectually, it's discerned spiritually. Which means you must have the Spirit of truth. You have to have it. You have to have the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get it otherwise. Which is why these scriptures that we've been talking about now for weeks, months, maybe years, are so vital, especially with everything I see going on right now. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. This person that will take permanent residence in your life, the helper, the comforter, the parakletos, the one who is called to walk alongside you, to exhort you, to comfort you, and to teach you, is the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Now, I know he's speaking to the disciples, but he's speaking to all of us who believe. Why is there so much false teaching being followed and accepted when he sent the Holy Spirit to stop that? John 15:26, when the helper comes, whom I shall send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, of nothing and no one else. John 16:7-8, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I don't see anywhere in there where it says the Holy Spirit will teach you how to be rich, how to have a Cadillac or a big mansion or $1,000 suits and multiple $1,000 purses. No, it doesn't say that. It says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will remind you of him, remind you what he said, and remind you what he taught. Kind of encapsulates it all in John 16:12-15. These are all red letters, folks. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. They were not ready to hear what he had to say. They were unable to grasp it at that moment. But he knew that when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, would come, that he would guide them into all truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. For he would not speak his own message on his own authority, but he would be saying whatever he heard from the Father that would glorify the Son, that had been given to him by the Son, announce it, declare it, teach it, even things that would happen in the future. And he would glorify the Lord. He wouldn't glorify any man. He wouldn't glorify a denomination. He wouldn't glorify a way of thinking. See, they could not bear what he was about to say because it was going to take the Holy Spirit to understand all of the aspects of the new covenant. That they, being Jews, would have to accept Gentiles as equal members of his bodies. That many of the cherished dreams that they'd had about Messiah and what he would do when he came would not come to pass at that time. It would take the Holy Spirit to reveal it. Now, how is he going to reveal it to him? I shared that with you already. I want to tell it to you again. And the reason I'm harping on this is the amount of deception and false teaching right now. I was talking about this with Pastor Shelley just the other day. The amount of deception and the inability of the church to discern that it's false teaching is frightening. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority. But what he hears from the throne room, he'll repeat, even tell you things to come. He'll glorify the Lord. Now, when did this begin? Well, look at Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you are endued, soaked in with power from on high, which takes us right to Acts 1:4, and being assembled together, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they'd come together, they asked him, Lord, will you restore at this time the kingdom of Israel? He said, it's not for you to know times or season, which my Father has put into his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. He didn't say he's going to make you smarter. What he said is you're going to receive explosive, dunamis power to be witnesses to him all over the world. And we know that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that's when it began. They were all with one accord in one place. And that sound, that rushing wind that came from heaven, came from the throne room, filled the house where they were sitting, and appeared to them in divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each one of them. They were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. At that moment, everything changed. At the moment he sat down at the right hand of his Father, everything changed. Old-time religion was gone. The old way of doing things was gone. The old covenant of God doing it for you was now you can do for yourself for the kingdom because I'm giving you the power. Why? Because I go to the Father. Three times he said that. Three times he said, because I go to the Father, this will happen, that will happen. It was a promise. It was an instigation, an affirmation, an explosion of change on every level. But it would take certain things from us to make it happen that I'm not seeing. John 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Well, if the Holy Spirit's in you, Holy Spirit's with you, you're not going to pray incorrectly. You're not going to ask for selfish things. So when you have teachers telling you how to pray, and they're teaching you to pray incorrectly, they're teaching you to pray things, ask for things, believe things that don't line up with the Word, by the process of logical, linear thinking, I can determine what they're telling me is not coming from the Holy Spirit. Said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to take my place and convince the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, who's he working with? He's working with the church because when he left, he sent the Spirit to work with us to do it for him. There's some people that teach the Lord does it for you. The angels do it for you. You don't have to do it. That's not what he said. That's not what the apostles teach. And he gave an indicator when it would change when we saw him again. But see, this is nothing new. What I'm railing or ranting about now happened almost immediately in the book of Acts Church. 2 Peter 2, starting verse 1. But there are also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies, even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow the evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get a hold of your money. but God condemned them long ago. Their destruction will not be delayed. In order to get money to spend on their own lust, they fabricate counterfeit doctrines, false theories, and even false miracles to deceive. Well, what does he mean that they were condemned long ago because of the false prophets and false teachers that plagued Israel? But see, the Lord warned us of this. This is nothing new. They'd heard him say in Matthew 7, starting in verse 20, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them." Meaning, you can't be a saint of God and a sinner of the world at the same time. You can't be telling me you're preaching the gospel when you're preaching secular humanism and leading people astray. You go to Matthew 24 when he talks about the signs of the end times, which I would present to you are all happening simultaneously right now. All seven churches of Revelation exist right now, which is why I believe we are in those times. But there are people out there that are accepted as prophets or called prophets or venerated and marched across stages who will tell you I'm a doom and gloom preacher and that I'm wrong. Well, that's what the Lord says. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah. Saying he is the Messiah, not that they're the Messiah. They will acknowledge he's the Messiah and will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of the sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Remember, he's speaking to the church. He's speaking to believers. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness, which is sin, will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Right there, tucked in the middle of all of that verse, about the false prophets, and the many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, picks it up again in verse 24, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. There are people out there that got some really false signs happening on stage, and my brothers and sisters are so hungry for a supernatural experience, they're accepting it. And when I say to them, you can't show me that in the Bible, well, God's doing a new thing, something he's never done before. No, no, no. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever's been's already been done. If it can't be confirmed in the word, it's not of him. He's given us an everlasting, eternal word to confirm himself. I've shared this with you in the seminars. I shared it with them in the book, The Supernatural Battle. When the Lord began to reveal things to me I'd never heard before that actually, I don't want to say frightened me, but rattled me, I began to push back. Began to say, Lord, I can't. I can't accept this unless I see it in your word. And then he would take me to scripture after scripture. And that's why in the supernatural battle, I have a lot of scripture, a lot of Hebrew and a lot of Greek to show you that some of the unique supernatural things I've experienced and I've shared have biblical verification. because without them, we would have rejected it. One of the things we did early on is we made a decision that we would not force the word, we would not manipulate the word to match our experience. We would force our experience to match the word, or it would be rejected. There's so many that manipulate the word to fit their experience when their experience is clearly outside his teaching. Now, where is this coming from? Why is it happening? Why is the enemy doing this? His trick, his number one go-to trick is deception. He did it in the garden. He's done it since then. He'll do it all the way to the end, even into and out of the lake of fire, because he'll deceive people after the millennial reign, and then he'll be judged finally. Deception is what keeps us from walking in the truth. Ignorance is what destroys us. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7, "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he," capital H, which is the Holy Spirit, "who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way." And I believe that's when the church is removed. And then the lawless one will be revealed. There's nothing holding him back. There's nothing in his way. There's nothing resisting his work. He's got a free shot at humanity. Lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Hasatan, Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The mystery of lawlessness, the hidden principle of rebellion against divine constituted authority, is already at work in the world. And we're not even at that point, because we're still here. We're restraining it. We're pushing it back in prayer. We're pushing it back with some of the things that SRT does, declare a path for the gospel to be preached. But this Antichrist, this spirit of the Antichrist that Satan's going to work with, and work through, he's already dabbling. He's already preparing the masses for the show. He's given them a preview of the lying signs and wonders and the marvels and the miracles and the things that people are oohing and aahing about in the conferences and the seminars and the sanctuaries. Not saying, "Lord, is this of you? Holy Spirit, is this you?" Angels don't come but to give messages and do his bidding. They don't serve men. They don't serve preachers. They don't float across the stage. They don't hang out and tell, "Well, my angel told me this, and this is what..." No, 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 no. They will give you a specific message at a specific time. It will glorify the Lord. It'll be the purpose of furthering the kingdom and the preparation of the return of the King. Not to get people rich, not to change the word, or to see if it does those things, it's not from the Lord. If it draws attention to them, they're not heavenly angels. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. They will say it's wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods, but God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. For we know it's made acceptable by the word of God in prayer. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you will be a worthy servant of Messiah Yeshua, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you followed. Do not waste time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Instead, train yourself to be godly. See, during that period of time, Jewish lawlessness had slipped back into the church, kind of like with the Messianic movement now and the Hebrew Roots movement, which is why I'm not a part of it. Never will be. Not the least of which is they reject the gifts and of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations of those gifts. But this scripture, this teaching, this letter from Paul to Timothy was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, expressly, specifically warning us of the lies and the deception to come. When? When would this happen? In the last days, in the last time, the latter days, all began after Calvary, but specifically on the day of Pentecost. That's what Peter said. This is, as the prophet Joel said, he made a declaration right there. This is the beginning of that period of time. So why are we so easily deceived? I think some of you may have already know this, but we're going to keep going. We're going to find it. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart, in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, what is that unbelief? The unbelief that he's coming back. The unbelief that the Word is the Word, the inerrant Word of God. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need a new translation. But the one area that I think we have departed from was the only order the Lord gave us, the Great Commission. Go, make disciples of all men. And when you do that, these signs will follow, and I'll be there with you, confirming with signs and wonders that match the word, that glorify him. Anything other than the gospel is a distraction from the enemy. See, what was happening then is they were speaking lies. They were hypocrites. They were liars. They were speaking false doctrine of pretended revelations, putting on an act of holiness and self-denial, and the crucifixion of their flesh when their lives said otherwise. I have an expression that I learned a long time ago, learned it the hard way from some people I knew that worked in behind the counters of delicatessens or served foods in restaurants. This one friend told me, A, don't mess with the person bringing you your food, and B, if you don't want to see how the food's cooked, do not go in the kitchen. Well, I've been in the kitchen, and I'm talking about the back rooms and the conference rooms and the meetings in church. If you don't want to know how the church is cooked, don't go in the kitchen. But see, it starts out subtle. It may even start out well-meaning. But eventually it'll get worse because it has the taloned hands of the fallen one on it. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15. For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So, who or what is behind these false teachings and the focus on lies? Well, it's the spirit of lawlessness, and it is in place to set up the Antichrist and the false prophet. See, I tend to the annoyance of many, focus on the bigger picture. I tend to look at things not linear, but I tend to see the whole thing at once, looking for what the enemy is actually doing. And what I'm seeing him doing right now, in media, in ministry, in politics, and in every part of life, I am seeing him set up the arrival and the appearance of the Antichrist and the false prophet. And I'm seeing, and have discussed with others who do the same, including Pastor Shelley, who I consider to not only be my pastor, my spiritual father and mentor, but incredibly intelligent and smart when it comes to these things. He sees the same thing. The church is asleep. They've been taken in by the show, and they're not going to be ready for the final act. See, all of this gets revealed in Revelation 19, verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And then we find out in Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil, the adversary who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever. So what are we supposed to do? I'm not really ranting and raving. I'm concerned. I'm concerned what I'm seeing. I'm concerned by the arrogance and the activity of the enemy. And please don't misquote scripture and tell me God will deal with it. No. He made it very clear. He sent the Holy Spirit to us to do it. The aspects of the old covenant where the angel showed up and did it and where he got personally involved, you don't see that mentioned in the New Testament. You see resistance, you see pushback, you see confront, preach. That's what the disciples did. It's what the apostles did. They didn't sit back in Jerusalem and hang out and just wait for it all to take place on its own. They went out and did it themselves. They confronted the sorcerers. They delivered the prophetess of Python. Second Timothy 4, starting verse 1, is Paul speaking to Timothy again. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Messiah Yeshua, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not, in season or out. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For the time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who tell them what their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Don't go along to get along. Don't endure bad doctrine. Stand up to it. Because people will not endure sound doctrine. They will follow the Pied Pipers. They will sell their souls for a morsel of bread or pieces of silver. And they will increase in lust and sins, starting from the pulpit, starting from the offices, starting from the top down. And they will add one teacher after another, wander from one church to another, to find a place where they'll hear what tickles the ears and will not insist on holiness or deal with sins or sinful pleasures. Don't convict me. Don't step on my toes. I want a seeker-friendly church who's going to tell me that everything's okay, even if it's not. And when the enemy shows up in the middle of the night to take my family, my daughter, my son, my wife, or my marriage, we're closed. Leave a message. Better yet, go down the road. People are going to have itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear or don't speak to me at all. And they're going to follow those teachers that tell them what they want to hear. Who's going to make excuses for them. Everything's okay. You're okay. Grace covers it all. Well, you know what? That is true. But grace comes from repentance. Repentance comes from saying, I don't want to be this way anymore. And turning away from your sinful ways. And sometimes it means making restitution. Nope. They want a religion that doesn't require anything from them. Don't strip away their sins and don't demand sanctification and consecration. And then the fables and the false religions and the lying signs and wonders will tell them everything they want to hear, show them everything they want to see, the lights, the smoke, the mirrors, the loud music, and go home the same way they came in. And those people will go home with the same problems and the same bondages and the same hurts, and they won't change anybody. I think that's what concerns me most of all. Thankfully, the Lord didn't send me to a church like that. He sent me to a place where people would know how to pray and where the pastor of that church would know how to deal with what was inside of me. A seeker-friendly church would have done nothing for me, wouldn't have saved me, wouldn't have convicted me, and I wouldn't have gotten my family back, and I definitely wouldn't be sitting here right now talking to you. People turn their heads away from what they don't want to hear. Which is why it takes patience and instruction for an effective ministry. I am so much more effective now, almost 30 years later, because of that. True spiritual growth takes time. It happens over a period of time. And it happens through consistent teaching and application of God's word. This is what Paul said to Timothy as he was awaiting execution. He was concerned about Timothy's ministry. And he warned him in 1 Timothy 6:5 against the useless wrangling of men of corrupt minds and that are destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Woe to the worthless shepherd. Don't have anything to do with them. Don't be a part of them. Yeah, you could look at their lives and lifestyle of the rich and famous that they lead, but until you see that they're fleecing the flock and taking advantage of people, or that their blessings are coming from Hasatan through the world, you're going to be deceived. You're going to be seduced. Many a good people have been. H.L. Mencken was a writer. He was a journalist. In fact, he was somewhat anti-religion, said something very profound, and I want to share it with you. He was from the early 1900s, died in 1956. For the truth teller and the truth seeker, indeed the whole world has very little liking. He is always unpopular, and not infrequently his unpopularity is so excessive that endangers his life. Run your eye back over the list of martyrs, both lay and clerical. 9/10 of them stood accused of nothing more than honest efforts to find out and announce the truth. But false prophets and false teachers have been around for a very long time. Prophet Jeremiah 23, verse 16, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. Basically, what he's saying is they make up everything they say, and they don't speak for him. Ezekiel 13, starting with verse 1, it was very prominent during that time, and in this warning, this message came to him from the Lord. Son of man, prophesy against the false prophets of Israel, who are inventing their own prophecies. Say to them, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. What sorrow awaits the false prophets who are following their own imaginations and have seen nothing at all. O people of Israel, these prophets of yours are like jackals digging in the ruins. They've done nothing to repair the breaks in the wall around the nation. They have not helped it to stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Instead, they have told lies and made false predictions. They say this message is from the Lord, even though the Lord never sent them, and that they expect him to fulfill their prophecies. Can your visions be anything but false if you claim this message is from the Lord when I have not even spoken to you? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because what you say is false and your visions are a lie, I will stand against you, says the sovereign Lord. I will raise my fist against all the prophets who see false visions and make lying predictions, and they will be banished from the community of Israel. I will blot their names from Israel's record books, and they will never again set foot in their own land. Then they will know I am the sovereign Lord. This will happen because these evil prophets deceive my people by saying all is peaceful when there is no peace at all. It is as if the people had built a flimsy wall, and these prophets are trying to reinforce it by covering it with whitewash. We have men and women today that are being called prophets and prophetesses that moved into an office that they don't belong in, that the Lord didn't put them in. Matter of fact, he didn't even build the building that the office is in. They call themselves prophets. My brothers and sisters say, well, did you hear a prophet said the other day about President Trump? What I want to say is no, and I don't care because I don't listen to what that false prophet says. I just ignore it. We're living in those times again. What will it take for us to wake up? You know, I don't know. And I think the thing that inspired this, beside a conversation with Shelley and also a conversation with Joe Citrone, I'm so shocked that people who say they know the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, are so easily deceived. Even Paul in Titus 1, verses 10 and 11, for there will be many rebellious people will engage in useless talk and deceive others. This will be especially true of those who insist on circumcision for salvation. Yes, they insisted you couldn't be saved unless you were circumcised. And when you do that as an adult, that's very painful. They must be silenced because they're turning whole families away from the truth by their false teaching, and they do it only for money. See, nothing changed from early Israel even the first couple of decades of the Book of Acts church, this was happening. Nothing has changed at all. But I think as we hurtle toward the end and we get prepared for the appearance of the Antichrist and the false prophet, it's increased. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we as not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity from God, we speak in the sight of God and Messiah. One of the admonitions to elders in 1 Peter 5:2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, and not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. So Joe and I were talking the other day about this, and he mentioned something that triggered an even deeper conversation. And we came to the conclusion that some of these false teachings are almost like watching an infomercial. Initially, you watch it with skepticism. But the longer you watch it, even though you know you don't need it, you're compelled to buy it. And you're compelled to buy it for what will turn out to be an exorbitant price, because when you receive it, you realize the advertising was false. Not only do you really not need it, when you send it back, you've lost part of your money, and the whole thing was a mistake. The enemy's good. He's good at what he does. He convinced a third of the angels to leave perfection and eternity to rebel with him into damnation. He deceived Adam and Eve to do what they did, and over and over and over. And the only thing that stops that deception is the presence of the Spirit of Truth. But in thinking of that infomercial example, I found this in Titus again, chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And it kind of explains it. Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their minds and their consciences are corrupted. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. They are detestable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. They put emphasis on physical objects or external practices that do nothing but with a mind focused on corruption and evil. And the principle is still here today. We should be more concerned with renewing our mind and focusing on the Lord than being worried about rules of do's and don'ts. Remember, I said to you, and I know this to be true, if you love him, you'll do the right thing out of love, not out of compulsion. So what do we do? How do we do this? Well, it started with us talking about the Spirit of Truth. It started with the admonition and declaration from the Lord that when he sat down next to the Father, he was sending us the protection, the antivirus, if you will, from the corruptible virus of the enemy and the fallen. But yet from day one, he has snuck into the church. He has corrupted beliefs. He has corrupted entire fellowships. We're so fractured and dysfunctional and schizophrenic or bipolar, whatever you want to call it, it's no wonder that we're ineffective. But I'm believing that there is a remnant who are hungering for the truth. They hunger and thirst for his righteousness. They want the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit to work together. They want to expose the things that I've been talking about, and they want to do it in love. They don't want to see anybody destroyed. But they also will not walk in the foolishness with those people. See, we overcome by recognizing false teachers and refusing to follow them, because he who is in us is greater than who is in the world. That's what he says in 1 John chapter 4. Little children, you are of God. You belong to him and have already defeated and overcome the agents of the Antichrist, because he who lives in you is greater, he's mightier than he who is in the world. They proceed from the world and are of the world. Therefore, it is out of the world. Its whole economy, morally considered, that they speak and the world listens and pays attention to them. All paths do not lead to God. Everybody doesn't follow the same God. When I hear somebody say that and they say they're a believer, I know that they're ignorant. That's not the truth. On the Emmys the other night, I don't watch it even though I've been in the business as long as I have. I don't watch those things anymore. They mocked thanking Jesus. One woman got up and says, I don't even believe in God, but I'm going to thank her tonight. And many Christians got offended and said, it's not a she, it's a he. And what I want to say to you, no, she's talking about a she. She's talking about Lilith, also known as Jezebel, also known as Ishtar and Ashtaroth. She is talking about a female god with a small g. That is who she's thanking. That is who empowers what she does. I'm not offended by what she says. I'm offended by how easily she can say it. Because we have not done our job. We have not preached the gospel. We have not set the captives free. We have not shined the light on false teaching and false prophets who are serving the spirit of the Antichrist. They are bringing in a world system that will serve Hasatan. They are bringing in religion and religious beliefs accepted by the world. Jesus is the dividing line. He is the line in the sand. No man comes to the Father but through him. That's why the path is so narrow, and so few make it through the gate. We've got to get to the place And I'm talking about the church, and I'm talking about people who claim to be believers, as it is in Isaiah 50, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, the prophets and the false teachers, they do what they do, and they do it falsely. They rule by their own power, and the people want it so. That was a paraphrase of Jeremiah 5:31. If my words abide in you, if his words have taken permanent residence in you through the abiding presence of the Spirit of truth, this will not happen. But in love and in patience, you must begin to speak up. You must stop propagating false lies and false teachings and following people because they tickle your ears or they give you the show that you think is of God. You must stop and say, Lord, is this you? And if it is, confirm it in your word so that I won't be deceived. We've got to get to the place where we worship the Lord and we don't worship the worship of the Lord. We don't worship the worship leaders. We don't worship the teachers and the preachers and those people up on the stage who have elevated themselves up in our sight of line with the cross, our line of sight with the cross. Superstar Christianity's got to end, but I know it won't. I know it's going to get worse. But I will not follow. I will follow Yeshua. I will follow him, guided by the Spirit of truth. I will be encouraged. I will be edified. I will be reminded of what he said. I will work to set the captives free. I will prepare the way for the return of the King. Father, I just pray that your word goes forth and reaches those who it's supposed to reach. I pray I'm not preaching to the choir. But I pray that we would shine the light, expose the lies, set the captives free, find the lost sheep that have wandered away, that have eaten the wrong food in the wrong stall in the wrong bin, and show them where the good food is. I pray that those who have been called to bless would be a blessing, would empower those of us that want to do this, to prepare your way, to repair the breaches in the wall, to fix things and not whitewash things. Who will speak the truth in love. Lord, help us. Bless us. Heal us. Everyone right now, myself included, that because of this world and the fallen world system and maybe even bad choices we've made or deceptions of the enemy, we're asking you for grace and mercy and forgiveness, restoration and healing. We're asking for you to renew us so that we can serve you without hindrance. Let the rain fall, Lord. Let the rain of refreshing fall on us. Let your fire fall to fill us. And let us do what you asked us to do because we long to see you again. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.